Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, part of the CLG campus, and this is all orchestrated by BASE. Today, we're going to turn the tables a little bit and talk to Chris Detzel, who works at RealTO. Chris, welcome.
Thank you very much. How are you?
Good. The reason we're turning the tables is because usually Chris interviews me or talks to me or tries to pull something out of my head here. So today, Chris is in the hot spot. He's in the hot seat. So we're going to talk about a few things today, such as executive councils, advisory boards, and maybe future trends. But before that, Chris, tell us who you are, what's your means of barter, and how you got here.
So I'm Chris Detzel. I work at RealTO. I'm the director of customer community and engagement. I own our online community. I own our executive council, which is kind of like an advisory board. But also now I own our events. We're going to have a big event coming up here in October. And I got here because you and I have spoken a lot in the past on my podcast called Peers Over Beers. So I think you asked me to come on here. So here I am.
Now that's great. One thing I really like is that, you're focused on community and customer engagement.
Yep.
You know, I think it's really important that two go hand in hand. And I was just talking on another podcast the other day how communities, I think, should even be like the homepage for most companies, right? You know, and it's a great way to trigger that customer engagement. But let's get started here. Tell me a little bit about your executive council, your advisory board, just some background on it, and then we'll get into some of the details about like how to think about putting these things together.
Yeah. It's a good question. So we call it RealTO Executive Council, and it's like an advisory board, or maybe it's an advisory board, but I call it the Executive Council because our customers that are on the Executive Council are CIOs, Chief Data Officers, VPs of Innovation, so very high level within their organization, and at really big organizations such as like Schneider Electric, Marriott, and other big brands. And so we're certainly excited to have them, but they actually are connected to, because our CEO, our VP or senior VP of product, and other executives at RealTO are on there as well. And so what we do is we meet four times a year, one on-site and three virtual. We put together agendas. So we actually have one coming up on the 19th of January. And really, you know, the goal there is to have them help us kind of guide RealTO strategic direction, help us also validate, you know, some product ideas and guide some of the roadmap, but also to learn best practices from like peers, get access to the RealTO executives, be included in now thought leadership and help solve business problems and also, you know, a big professional growth network for them. And so that's how we set that up. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. So how do you decide who is on this executive council?
It's a good question. At first, it was like, you know, it was very difficult because I thought, you know, how do I think about these people that, you know, could be on the executive council and why do we want them on the executive council? And at first it was like, well, let's just get anybody that says yes. What I learned was most people actually will say yes, you know, even at that level, like, it's kind of crazy. And so now what I've done over the last year-ish, so it's been around for almost 2 years, I guess. But I learned a lot. And in some of the things you have to look at, potential opportunity within the base. So like, let's say there's potential cross-sell and upsell opportunities, right? So what's the opportunity there? If it's not much opportunity, do we still want that person? Maybe, because maybe they provide some really great insight because they're very good at what they do. It could be, you know, based on how much do they spend a year. You know, I kind of looked at some of that, you know, just to be upfront and honest and certainly. But, you know, branding is big. You know, like, what kind of brand are they? You know, and then I start looking at, all right, do we have, when we kind of look at our go-to-market, so for example, if we're focused in on insurance and big pharma and those kinds of things, do we have enough big pharma folks within our, so we have a big pharma kind of huge kind of base. So do we have that, those people within the council? But you also have to look at, look, we have some retail folks, we have some, you know, life sciences. Well, it's all, so you want to try to, you know,
spread the
balance it. But you also want to be able to say, I have a strong council that, you know, that is in kind of the big pharma or, you know, life sciences space or whatever. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. Because now for me, today we have like 24 members on our council, which 20 is probably the sweet spot. But, you know, you always want to kind of, because people come and go. After about a year or two, you know, look, they've been there, done that. They stop coming. Then I'm like, okay, they stop coming, send them a note. Do they want to keep coming or not? And then, you know, so it's just kind of a balance there as well. I'll stop there because I say a lot of other stuff. I don't want to ramble too much.
No, this is great. So like telling us the number of people in the council, number of companies, the sweet spot. Do you have other, and I kind of jumped into calling this an advisory board. Do you have other kind of customer categories in addition to this executive council? And if so, how do they all work together?
The answer is yeah, sort of. I mean, so the executive council is a true kind of council that we have, an advisory board that we have. From the things that I own, you know, I have an online community that I own that is more specific for our technical users to get the most out of the product, kind of like, I want to call it a support community, but we have a whole entire program and not just the forum, but also like I call it community shows or a webinar, you know, that are live with an expert, sometimes live with thought leadership. And we're starting to dive more into that. And this is where the kind of the executive council will cross-pollinate with our community. And then we also have our customers obviously starting to really provide some content. So like just the other day, or I say the other day, I think November or so, October, we had one of our customers from Google present on a topic called data quality. We had over 120 people there. They asked their questions. And then we even had a case study from one of our council members, you know, that he's a chief data officer at Qlik. He gave a whole entire reason of why they use Reltio and how Qlik and Reltio kind of come together and everything else. And so you're starting to see them kind of, the executive council be, I wouldn't call them mentors, but at least provide some of that content that at that high level. The other programs are kind of internal. Like I'm trying to create thought leaders within Reltio. So when I think of thought leaders, I think of things outside of master data management, that's what Reltio does. So how about things like data quality or data mesh or, you know, those kinds of things, data as a product? How do we cover those things? And so I'm pushing our executives, like our chief product officer, or it's a senior VP of product. His name's Venki. I'm pushing our senior VP of technology, Anch, to start covering those kind of topics rather than just Reltio and providing that to our community. But then when you start really looking at it, we're also starting to create content from all those things. So programs that allow, you know, us to create blogs that push it onto the main website, content that allows us to push Q&A into the community, then also them being thought of as thought leaders within the space of data. I don't know if that answers your question, but there's a blog program, there's a, you know, program that will allow folks, you know, a community show or webinar program that goes technical, but also thought leaders type stuff, and then case studies, and then you get the executive council. And then on kind of the edge, if you will, there's like our documentation team gets about
seven to 10 of our customers together on what they call some advisory something. I forget what they call it, but they use the community to do that, right? Like they're using the online community to communicate, and they're meeting, like I think once a month. And I'm not in those meetings. It's like I'm trying to let people have access to community stuff, but you know, I can't run every program.
Yeah, there's some really key themes here. One is, you know, using other disciplines. I mean, it's all under the data umbrella, but to help your own customers, right? So you have your product topic. And then the other thing I really like is the thought leadership aspect of it. And then, you know, user created content and having the users create that content. And then the other thing that resonated with me a lot is how do you reuse, repurpose that content? So that's great. When you have all these different groups, you're letting them kind of run with their engagement facing activities. How does the company keep track of all that? Or does the company keep track of that?
I keep track of it. A lot of it because
you're part of the company.
Yeah. I own all those programs, most of them. Right. Uh-huh. And I present on that. And, you know, I'm trying to embed more of these, you know, analytics and things like that into a Tableau towards some of the, from a community standpoint, it's automated, but also the executive council is a little different. But you know, I have to keep track of that just through, you know, I use different people in the organization to help me do some of that, right? Like it's all influence. So, you know, you got to influence your peers and people that are really smart at doing certain things, whether it's analytics or, you know, they have relationships with certain customers or whatever it is, or they're very good at events and things like that. So picking their brains, but more so, I don't need brain picking. I need people to do shit or stuff. Sorry. You know, and so.
Sounds like a good title for a book. Yeah. I don't need brain picking. Kind of I need people to do shit.
Yeah. And so I just try to, I keep track of that. So yeah, I think that's the answer, you know, you're looking for, but it's a lot of people within the organization helping me do some of that.
Got it. So when we think about this executive council, like here I am, Scott Wilder, I got my Wilder Widgets company. What's your recommendation about how to form a executive council? Like what's your little playbook on how you approach this?
I think that one, when you first start out with the advisory board or council like this is, you know, you have to work with many people within the organization. One is at the high level, you know, I have Manish is our CEO. I have Venki, he's our senior VP of product and others are I report to the CMO, David, so I have their buy-in and I have to have more than their buy-in. They actually have to attend, you know what I mean? Like at least four times a year. So that's one is that they have to be bought into it because these executives at these companies want to have a say. And if those executives at your company aren't there, then what's the use? Who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, like there's no value in that. So I think that that's one and first and foremost. And then two, you know, I think you really need a good project manager, to be honest, because and maybe if it's not full-time, it's somebody that can really manage that. Because think about this. Maybe I won't go through all that process because it's a lot, but there's a lot to do in the meantime. So the other piece is starting to build relationships with either your sales AEs or CSMs that have those relationships with these customers. And if they don't have those relationships with the customers, then, you know, like, we kind of had some of that and kind of didn't, you know, I just find the person's name, email address and everything else. And I would just send them a note and saying, hey, you know, look, we have this council that we're starting. It's going to be this, you know, have kind of this program that, you know, it's free, it's blah, blah, blah. Basically your peers, CIOs and other CDOs and other VPs of, you know, kind of at your level are going to be attending and this is what it's about. So start kind of seeing who might be interested. Come to find out, man. People are interested. Most of them will come and then they will just say things. So I think it's top end. Also the relationships with CSMs and AEs. And then put the spread, you know, tactically get the spreadsheet, put the company name, the AE's name, the CSM's name, kind of a column there, and the emails and things like that. And then see what you can get from a name, you know, from a name and all that stuff, and then start reaching out to them directly. But then, you know, if they say yes, a lot of other stuff that goes into it, right? Like sometimes they might need to sign the NDA, right? Even if they already have a signed NDA, you have to think about that and the process that goes with that. We had to do that for a long time. And then finally, it's like, okay, we don't have to do that anymore. They're good if they've already signed one. Now, if it's somebody outside of Reltio that they don't use Reltio, then they'll have to sign an NDA. You know, so there's some legal stuff that you have to do. These are executives. So think about a swag program for them. Think about, you know, something that is really cool to give to them, especially on-site meetings. You're going to be asking a lot of them. I ask, you know, I have at least one case study every single session. So now I'm going to have two of this next 2-hour session. It's only 2 hours. And so Reltio will have to be quick in what we say, but people want to hear other stories. We want to hear other stories, you know, why they're using Reltio and things like that. So I think it's a lot of different things. And, you know, what I've done has worked so far. It continues to work. And I find that now that I have one slide that is beautiful now, and I've got the AEs, or sales folks and executives all on board, is it has all the members, their first name, you know, first, last name, picture. So you're going to make this really cool. You can do it in Canva, but put their title on there. And then I have all their brands at the bottom, you know, that shows all the brands and everything else. And so when people see that, that's the money slide, you know, but it's a great group of people. You know, there's slide decks you have to build. You have to sometimes be a concierge. Like, for example, my CEO, like I copy him on every email that whenever I ask somebody to do a case study, and he'll just chime in and say, he'll reply back, "Hey, so-and-so, you know, we'd love for you to do this case study." Chris Dutz, and something he said that I wasn't expecting. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? He goes, "Chris Dutz will help you build the slides." And I'm like, "Hey, I'm going to build his slides now," you know? But so it's just kind of this, you know, concierge kind of thing. I mean, I'm not sure that I think I might tell him, hey, let's not build people's slides. You know what I mean? Because they're executives. They kind of know that. But, you know, you're running all kinds of different things. You know, but I don't know if that answers some of the question.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different things.
How do you track your communications with these executives? And then also when you get content from them, where do you store that content?
I love that question because it's a really good one. One is I have a tracker in a sense that tells me who showed up to what meeting. So it's checked out or bolded or whatever. So, 2 years ago, we started with kind of this third party company that did all this stuff. And so they taught me a lot. And so we got rid of them. And then now we kind of do it on our own. But
Google Sheets or?
Yeah, just like Google Sheets, it's shareable. You know, and so you just track it. I have the first and last name, email, I have the person's address, phone number, you know, assistant, whatever. But then I also have this thing that says, did they, you know, like date of the meeting, did they attend, yes or no? And then if it's all these no's, eventually I'll just send them a no and say, are you still interested? If not, you know, it's fine, get it, you know, things move on. And then either get them out and bring somebody else in. I just use Google Sheet. And what was the other question?
And then the second part of the question is like content that they provide, where do you keep track of that?
So I created a private group on our community that only they have access to. I push all the communication there. So whether it's, hey, this is how you get this PowerPoint, this is how you get this video, this is how you get whatever, I give them that and have a link directly to those places. So they have a space just for them. Now, those people don't engage at all, hardly, on those communities, but they are part of the community and they can engage. And what I have found is they will forward different invites, because then once they become part of that community, they're also part of the Reltio, what I call Connect community, which is the overall community that is open. So when they get invites directly to some of our shows and everything else, we'll send that off to people on their teams, right? Hey, maybe you should do this. Maybe you should do that. You know, and sometimes they even show up, you know, to some of these shows. So it's starting to really pay off. So I use the community as the place for them to get stuff.
And so, yeah, okay. So that's your kind of content depository.
Yep. For them. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, getting executives to participate in the community is challenging, but I like the way you're thinking about it. It's like they can easily share that information or share the links with their team.
I think that people engage in different ways. When you think of executives, like this guy, Joe DeSantos from Click, he's the CDO there, chief data officer. He did this case study on the executive council, right? Like when people ask him questions and then I asked him, I said, hey, you know, just personally, I go, do you mind doing this in front of the whole community? Because I think a lot of people get, of course, he's going to be interested. He's from a data company or a, you know, product company as well. So he wants to talk about Click. But he also talked about how he uses Reltio and everything else. And so to me, that was huge because like 120 people showed up and I had prospects, I had customers, I had partners that all showed up to that. We recorded it and pushed it out onto the community. And it's also public, right? And so now you're finding these people participating in other things rather than just the executive council. Not all of them will. I have 24 of them. What if I get 5 people, 10 people in that executive council that participates outside of, you know, that just at a Forrester event in December, we had one of our council members present a case study and he did it with our CEO at Forrester, right? And so these are the benefits that the executive council at the executive level, this isn't at, you know, the technical level, which I have had technical people present their case studies and stuff like that last year. We'll have more of it this year. So it's just a beautiful, wonderful thing, right? We're going to get Click to do a true case study to push it out on a website and everything else. So when
that's awesome. And then one more tactical question. How often do you get the executive council together?
4 times a year. Mm-hmm. Try to do it quarterly. 3 virtual and 1 on-site. So I'll give you an example for the on-site. This year, we are going to have, I guess we call it at the moment a user conference, but it's going to be for both customers, partners, and actually prospects. And so the executive council will meet the day before on site. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to have those folks, not all of them, but whoever comes and 3 or 4 of them present some type of either thought leadership, case study, or even panel type stuff at the conference. Does that make sense? So utilizing those folks to do additional things. And we'll probably do some community stuff. I was just told recently that I'm going to be kind of the driver of that event. So I'm going to be the owner of that big event. So something I'm really excited about, a little stressed out about, but we'll definitely have the executive council there.
Yeah, no, that's a great opportunity. I definitely was involved in getting the speakers and some of the content for our session conference. So if you ever want to chat, just come over to the campus and let me know. Anything else around executive councils or advisory boards that you think people should know about, things that you've learned? I know you just worked on a presentation about it too. So is there anything in that presentation that you've helped educate your internal stakeholders that you want to share?
Yeah, I think one is a lot of people are trying to think about the value of community and the executive council or advisory boards and things like that. And the way I like to do it is tell stories, right? So, you know, when I do it, like the story that like this guy from, I live in Dallas, and there's this guy, he's on our executive council from Google, and he lives in Dallas as well. So we've got together several times. He loves to eat at Papa Do's, right? And so I'll take him to Papa Do's. Let's go eat at Papa Do's, you know, whatever. And we'll have some great discussions. And, you know, I had him do this regional roundtable, or what I call roundtable, that's face-to-face, right? You know, and so he talked about data quality. I also brought in somebody from Reltio. I moderated. We had a great discussion, about 20 people there. And so those kind of stories are beneficial because 20 people showed up. Google, he's on our council, right? Did this roundtable, and he actually did a virtual community show around data quality that, you know, 100 and something people showed up to. So telling those stories of, hey, we do meet on a private way, by the way, you know, just talk about these things. But because of that relationship that I had with Google, I brought him to, he did this regional roundtable, he did this. So telling those stories of what they're doing outside of that, people can understand. And I think that's the important piece. And how, you know, I think of community-led growth, that's part of it. It's not just online communities. People engage in different ways. You know, executives engage in different ways. It's more personalized and more hand-holding. It's more, you know, kind of nicer things, if you will, you know what I mean? Like, and so the face-to-face, the virtual, getting them to actually speak, they want to speak. They want to be in the limelight because that's what they do anyways. So why not give them that, you know, sounding board to do that? Don't be scared to ask them. What are they going to say? No, who cares? You know, next, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and for us, what they've done this year or this last year is they've given us case studies. They've done speaking events at like Forrester and Gartner's. They've done some thought leadership kind of stuff through regional roundtables and through, virtual shows. And then they network with each other. And so giving them that platform to do that, I think is important. And then the last thing I would say, Scott, is thank your employees. The employees at the end of the day are kind of the ones really pushing this. If it wasn't for like a Michael Burke at Reltio helping guide Google into some of these conversations and facilitating that conversation, because I'm not, you know, the smartest guy about data or data quality. Mm-hmm. Michael Burke is, and he spent from Boston to Dallas to do this thing. You know what I mean? And then just others that are really contributing and helping. The employees really are the ones that lead the way at the end of the day, but also your executive council members, to me, or advisory board members are key to really kind of unlocking, you know, because think about it. They speak around something, maybe they'll share it to their LinkedIn about others. So could potentially bring new leads, could potentially bring, you know, first of all, it brings kind of that connection together, but there's a lot of other things I think to the table. Does that help? Hopefully that.
Yes. No. And I love the fact you brought in the employees. I feel like when we talk about community-led growth, we barely ever talk about the role that
it's all about employees. To me, you know, being kind of a very slim team myself, if it wasn't for the employees, like the product managers, the solution consultants, the PS people, just those really smart people helping answer questions, to doing shows, to doing some videos, to all kinds of things, you know, roundtables, et cetera. You know, it's quite amazing what they've done. So
I know we're going to talk about some other things today, but I want to be sensitive to your time and also the listeners' time and viewers' time. So I think we'll have to do a double header. Turn this into a double header. Okay. Is there anything around this topic, you know, the executive council that I haven't asked you and you're like, damn, Wilder, why didn't you ask me?
No, I think you covered it, and I covered pretty much all the things that I wanted to cover. But, you know, these things are really good. It takes a lot of work and effort and time, but I think if you can get it off the ground and running,
man, it will be really awesome. So one last question. So yeah. I always like to ask everybody this, who or what has influenced your professional career either the most or has had a lot of impact on it?
Yeah, that was a near and dear. There's a few people, and I'll just name two, well, probably three. This guy, Michael Sandoval, which I think I've talked about him on Peers Over Beers. He used to be my boss and taught me everything I know about strategy and creating roadmaps and community kind of stuff and things like that. And he was a co-founder of Peers Over Beers. So that's one. And then two is a guy named Devishish Saxena. He also worked with me at, or I worked for him, and Michael worked for him at Rexel, and just he's just been a key influence. And he'd bring people together like no other, and it's really cool to see. And his leadership, he's a tough guy, but his leadership was awesome. And then the last one is CEO that brought me over from Imperva to Reltio. He left Imperva and then came to Reltio. His name's Chris Hyland. It's been a huge influence in my life. And just in my, and me kind of moving up in the companies and everything else and believing in me. So it's those three people really have been a huge influence in my life. So
that's nice. That's great. And it's, sometimes I ask the question and people kind of struggle. So I love the fact that you know, and you've worked with those people as well. So, well, Chris, it's been awesome seeing you again. I feel like I need to buy the drinks this time because usually you buy the drinks,
yeah,
the virtual drinks. But thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So this has been the Customer-Led Groove podcast and video cast. Thanks, everybody, for joining. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, and maybe I'll spell it this time since she usually talks after me, Alexa, Alexa. And, you know, a lot of people at this point say, you know, go to those sites and like me and like us and all that. What I like to say is, if you like the show, just play it forward and share it with somebody else. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer-Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer-Led Groove.